Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys Real Talk. I don't know what number it is. That's the least of my worries. Lee, what's going on, brother? How you doing? Word. All right, so we had UFC 277 this past weekend. Some crazy stuff happened. First of all, I'm not going to waste any time. Yo, y'all, listen, right? I know a lot of y'all watched the cards, so you already know this. But if you didn't watch the card, I'm sure you saw the highlights. Amanda Nunes, dog shit out of Juliana Pena. Oh, my goodness gracious. That was a bad beating. That was a bad, bad beating. Like, you cannot compare that to some of these other trilogies and say, like, okay, well, you know, Stipe got KO'd by DC in the first fight, and then Stipe KO'd him in the – no, like that, no. Because those two fights, this okay, DC's, like, obviously the first one, like, was kind of quick. You can't really say it wasn't competitive because it was, like, such a quick knockout that you didn't really get the chance to see, like, if it was competitive. I don't even think we got a full round, to my memory. The second fight was definitely, you know, there was back and forth. It wasn't this beating that we saw with Pena. Pena and Nunes. Wow, that was bad. That was really, really bad. Like, and I don't know. I'm seeing people talk about trilogy fights and stuff like this. Bro, please don't do a trilogy fight. Like, if you want to do it later. Like, you know, that, you don't, I don't know, man. You don't give somebody a trilogy fight after they get their ass beat like that. I mean, real talk, let's keep it 1,000. Like, you know, and, like, I like Pena. You know, I like Nunes. I'm not, like, super fans of either one. I don't really care that much. I'm definitely not a guy that's, like, you know, clamoring over the women's divisions or anything. I mean, there's a few that I like to watch. Those are, you know, two that I do enjoy their fights. But, I mean, I'm just trying to keep it real. As from, you know, being, I'm not being, like, not crazy about either one of them. I'm just trying to tell you that I saw a bad, bad, brutal beating that Nunes put on Pena. And I'll tell you this, I heard very, very, very one-sided commentary. Like, that commentary booth, that was bad. Like, I don't know if they were even hearing themselves or if, like, anybody else, like, is pointing this out. I haven't seen much about it on MMA Twitter, to be honest. I really haven't seen, I want to say I saw like one or two people the night of and then like on Sunday that brought it up, but I really haven't seen too much about it. But man, that commentary was biased, that or not biased, but they were very one-sided. And sorry about that. They were very one-sided, and it was obvious. Like, I couldn't believe it because it was, and this is, and mind you, this is during knockdown after knockdown. Like, Nunes would knock her down, and then during these knockdowns, during this brutal beating that we were watching, like, you would see the commentary just talking about, like, how tough Pena was. Like, that's what they were talking about while she was just getting her ass kicked. I'm like, what? Like, it comes from a similar place. Obviously, he was never a champion, but, like, when people talk about Nate Diaz and, like, he'll be losing a fight, and, like, he's, you know, he's known for that, like, he'll be losing fights, but, like, you know, they tend to talk about, like, how tough he is, and, you know, he hasn't been finished or whatever, he stays in there, he's durable, like, that's a big talking point when you come to Nate Diaz fans and, you know, people who talk about his fights, they usually bring up that point. So it kind of felt like that. I was like, what, we're doing that in a title fight? Like, she's the champion of the world, and she's getting beat down and probably one of the worst beatings or the worst title fight beatdown that I've seen in a while. Like, that was, I mean, definitely of the year. Last year and this year, I mean, I can't think of another title fight that was like that. I mean, especially where it's champion versus challenger. I mean, obviously Nunes is on a different level when you're talking about challenger. Like, she's not, I mean, she was, it was really champion versus champion, but, you know, in that respect, it was Nunes fighting for a title. So it's technically she's champion of a different division, but she's the challenger in that fight. And, man, that was so, I guess that, I mean, you got to keep it a buck. Please, no trilogy. Like, I don't even really want to see a trilogy. Like, but if y'all have to do it, because I know nowadays, like, it's just all about trilogies, which some people say is because, like, a lot of these divisions really aren't, they really aren't that deep. They don't have that much talent, unless you talk about, like, 155, 135, you know, divisions like this. When you get there, it's like, okay, why are we doing trilogy fights? You have plenty of contenders here, you know what I'm saying? But some of these other divisions, light heavyweight, you know, women's 135, like these divisions don't really have a lot of guys coming up. You know, you got a few guys that'll come up, but then, you know, they kind of get exposed and the division never really gets there, you know, it never really gets up to where it needs to be. So now at this climate, it's like, okay, let's just do a trilogy fight because we don't have any other names. We don't have talent like that. You know, it's, you got like guys that are okay, but then, you know, they're going to come in there and who's this? Oh, we got a caller in the queue right now. Hold on 2 seconds. Let's see. That must be a new feature. They got the hand. Hey, just letting
good
the caller
evening,
in right now. Who we have on the line?
Good evening, gentlemen. This is your Jersey guy.
Oh, is this NJ?
No, it's Lou. It's been a while, but I know you guys were on having some time.
You the NHL show?
No, I do my used to. I do a show called the Enhanced Sports Show, actually on Saturdays.
Oh yeah. You called in. Yeah. We've spoken to you a couple times. How you doing, bro? Thank you for the call.
All right, I had some extra time, so I thought I'd give it a shot here. Yeah.
There's
been a lot of problems in the boxing world. I mean, they had to cancel a fight, you know, this week over a weight issue. Again, like, you know, it seems like it's such a small weight problem, but yeah, it turned into a big one. You had to cancel the fight for this weekend at the Garden. What a shame.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the Jake Paul fight.
Yeah, it's the Jake Paul fight.
Stockton Jr.?
Yeah.
Okay.
They
had
the fight, and now it's all shot down. Oh boy.
Yeah, you know what a lot of people are saying about that, and I wonder if it's true or not. Is a lot of people are speculating that maybe they weren't able to sell the tickets, or you know the projections didn't show that they were going to sell like they needed to, and maybe they tanked with like what they put into going to Madison Square Garden and all that. That's a rumor. I don't know. But they're saying it's a weight thing. That's what they're saying, but I don't know.
Well, now you mentioned maybe there could be a conspiracy about that. The movie will sell the tickets and whatnot, so he uses weight issue as a ploy. So that could be a possibility, maybe.
Yeah, I mean the business of boxing. I don't really know what to believe because a lot of those guys, you know, they. It kind of seems like there's a lot of excuses in the sport of boxing, and that's that's kind of
boxing's not what it used to be,
why,
fellas.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Boxing is not what it used to be. I mean, you know, now as you can probably tell or not tell, that I am considerably older, and I remember those fights back in the 70s and 80s, and was all hyped up, and it was worth it. You know, I remember the last days of Ali and whatnot, and Mike Tyson being in his career. And Marvelous. Those are great fighters. Those were, you know, made you want to watch the boxing circuit back then. Now, it's like it's a completely different thing, and nobody really cares. Even if you do get, you know, one big fight. But it's one big fight, you know, that's so far down the road, you got to keep waiting and waiting. And now you got all this pay-per-view crap that we got to pay $1,000. You know, it's like it's lost it all. It's lost it. And not to mention with the rise, of course, of UFC, which is, you know, taking over. So that's really hurting boxing as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think from what I know, I don't know that much but from what I know is that it seems like back then guys were willing to fight the best guys were willing to fight the best guys, their peers that were, you know, some of the best guys, like, and you had those fights that you wanted to see. And then nowadays it seems like when you look at the sport of boxing,
you can,
like,
fight me if you want.
Yeah, it's like now, it's like a lot of those guys, you know, they got over 100 fights, you know, 80 fights. Like, those guys fought, you know, some, a lot of those guys were fighting, you know, sometimes multiple, you know, boxing fights per day. Like, when you go way back, they were fighting multiple times. Like, guys had unbelievable records. They were willing to fight anybody. Then, you know, the best guys fought the best guys, the ones that you wanted, you know, the matches you wanted to see, it seems like. And now it's like, you know, you don't really – you look at boxing now, and it kind of just seems like guys are kind of getting – it kind of looks like there's a lot of staff padding that goes on. Like, it kind of seems like they just they prop guys up, and you really don't know how good they are because they're not really giving you – like, they're not fighting the challenges that and taking on the challenges that you want.
No.
So then you really don't know where they're at because they're just kind of taking all these other guys that you're not really – you don't really know where they come from, so – and then you don't see the best guys fight the best guys. It seems like sport of boxing, you just hear excuses. And then it's like, oh, we want to fight each other. But then you hear that, like, the promotion doesn't want to, you know, fund it, or, you know, the two promotions don't want to work together, or HBO doesn't want to work with Showtime, and or something like this, or the contract. You know, he didn't want to honor, you know, the terms of the contract or the purse. You know, they couldn't agree on the, you know, one guy wanted more money or something. And so there's always something. They always have so many. It seems like there's an endless list of reasons why guys in sport of boxing, they don't want to fight today. That's what I noticed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and ever since HBO gave up the fight, you know, gave up the fight ring, it's, you know, it's really lost it now.
Couldn't
bring back the fight
with
HBO. Bring it back on ABC or something. Do something.
Yeah, bringing it back to ABC. For sure. I mean, nowadays, too, it's like you're not really getting – you're not getting – you know, a lot of these fights are – a lot of these guys are partnering with streaming services, and you have to be subscribed to the streaming services. Like, they got one DAZN now. Is there obviously ESPN Plus.
Oh, I got my ways.
Yeah, ESPN Plus is there. I mean, I know a lot of people are streaming
I got something better. I got something better.
Oh, what is that? You don't have to disclose it.
I know something. I know something they don't know.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, you don't have to disclose it on
air. I found it a while back, and they're for free, so you can watch it, and it doesn't cost you a cent. They are streaming sites, but anybody can get access to it. Strikeout sports.com. You can get almost any game you want, provided the servers are working properly, of course. So, you know, you can get almost any. That's the question you said.
Yo, Keys, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I couldn't before.
All right.
Yeah.
But look, I got two things to add to this discussion. I think the Jake Paul thing is. I think the Jake Paul thing with Hussein Rahman, I think Hussein Rahman, he couldn't make the 200 pounds, and they was trying to force him to make the 200 pounds. So he wanted to fight to be at 215, a weight that he could make.
205.
And, 205, something like that. And why couldn't they keep the fight on for 5 extra pounds? It's only 5 extra pounds. So
what about the because there's one fight that was called off because it was just like half a pound. It's half a pound, stupid. Come on.
So my thing with Jake Paul is this. I think he's at a point now where he thinks he's a shot caller in boxing.
Yeah.
And he feels that, hey, if I can't get everything my way, then the show is off. But I kind of agree with what you were saying, Keys. That fight wasn't going to sell out. Wasn't going to be that many people in the crowd. So they were going to lose money on this fight. So why even have a fight? So push the fight back.
Yeah.
Give both guys time enough to agree on a weight. And then you build it up. But I still think the fight mate is with Fury's brother. That is the fight to make, because you take that fight over to England. You don't do it in the States. Do it in England, where you are going to at least sell out a nice-sized venue. And people are going to come to boo Jake Paul. You gotta be willing to take heat in the situation that he's in if he wants to be taken seriously as a boxer. Secondly, the problem with boxing is this. There are too many belts. There are too many promoters who are trying to protect their guys, and there are too many O's in the sport. When I say O's, that's undefeated records.
Right.
There shouldn't be O's in boxing if you are fighting top-notch, top-level guys. Me and Keith say this about the UFC. Once you get in the top 10 in the UFC, you are going to suffer a defeat. You are going to lose a fight. And that's the way it should be, because when you are climbing the ranks and when you are fighting the best of the best, there is just somebody that's going to high your number on any given night. Everybody knows this. Demetrius Johnson, your given night was against Dominique Cruz and Henry Cejudo. Let me see. Daniel Cormier, your given night was against John Jones and Stipe Miocic. Who else? I could throw a lot of people names out there that you just not going to be able to run through them. Tony Ferguson was on an unbelievable win streak. Now he's on an unbelievable losing streak. Because sometimes the competition, they catch up to you, and you have to make adjustments within your game. But in boxing, like he said, when you coming through the ranks, you supposed to stat pack. You supposed to take fights that you supposed to win. But when you start winning belts and contending for belts, ain't no more fighting down. You should be fighting up, and that's the problem with boxing. Dudes would rather give up a belt than fight the next guy. Where in the world is that cool at? You will forfeit a belt instead of fighting the next guy that's in line.
Why?
Which makes no sense.
Well, I was told that I didn't know. So I had a friend over to watch UFC 277 this past Saturday night. And, he's big into boxing too, but he's a Triple G guy. Like, Triple G, that's his favorite. And he was telling me, I didn't know this, but about the Canelo-Triple G, like, rivalry, he was saying at first that before the first time they fought, that Canelo basically did what you just said. Canelo won the, 154-pound belt, I want to say, maybe, from Miguel Cotto. And then once he was the champ there, I think he was telling me that the mandatory was Triple G at that time. And then he said that Canelo dropped the belt and either moved up or moved down a weight and basically ducked the Triple G fight and then waited years later to fight it.
Yeah, that's because at the time, Canelo, he was a star. Triple G was a star. But I don't think Canelo was ready for Triple G. But even if you watch the first two Canelo versus Triple G fights, me personally, I feel Triple G won both of the first two fights. Canelo may have edged him out, you know, because they bought the fight again. So, but I felt Triple G won both fights. But it's just crazy, man. It's just crazy how the sport of boxing works compared to the sport of the UFC. But UFC is getting at a point now where guys are turning down fights too, though, Keys. Man, you talked about this a couple of weeks back. Guys turn down fights now. What in the world is up with that?
Yeah, a lot of guys ducked Islam. Yeah. A lot of guys turned him down. A lot of guys turned down I think I want to say Bryce Mitchell. he says that, you know, most of the featherweights have turned him down. That's why you don't see him fight that much. A lot of guys that are on the come up get turned down. I think that Mohammed Makhachev guy that's fighting 135, or 125, I think he said a lot of most guys that they offer him, the opponent turns him down. So you do see a lot of that. And I think it's the same thing as Canelo. I mean, sometimes it's like, on one respect, if a guy is like 2-0, I don't think the guy that is like ranked number 5 in the world like necessarily has to fight a guy that's like 2 fights deep. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he really has the obligation to do that. Like, he's already at, you know, he's at the top of the mountain. Like, why does he need to give a shot? But at the same time, I do appreciate when you take like a guy that has been doing well, you know, take a guy like, you know, Adrian Yanez, for example. Like, he's put on like 3, 4, 5 good performances now. Like, he's going to be a guy that's going to be ranked soon if he's not already. You take a guy like that and you give him a shot. Give him a shot versus, like, the number 10 in the world or something like that. Those are the fights that I like. Like, once a guy has been unranked and then he starts to actually, like, get a little resume for himself, he's won, you know, 4, 5, 6 fights unranked, then, okay, now we've seen a little bit of the work. Now let's give him a shot against the guy and then see, because sometimes you need those kinds of fights, but not when they're first getting in there. I don't think, like, some of these guys, they win one fight, and, like, that Mohammed Makhachev guy, you know, you see him on Twitter, and he's, you know, yapping his jaws, and it's like, bro, you're 1-0 in the UFC, and you're calling out the champion. Like, you really think the champion has to respond to you, bro? You're 1-0. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when it's like that, I don't feel sympathy for them. But once you start to put a little resume together, like I said, like my boy Adrian Yanez, you know, he's starting – I think he's like 4-0 in the UFC right now. He's starting to get close to that point where it's like, okay, you know, he wins another fight. Let's give him, like, you know, somebody legit. You know what I mean? Let's give him somebody and really see where it's at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I got to go back to something you were saying earlier when you couldn't hear me. You were talking about Julian Pena and Amanda Nunes. You was like –
actually, 2 seconds. Before we get into that, two seconds. I believe he said his name is NJ. I thought this was NJ MMA Insight, but this is a different NJ. I don't know if he's – I'm not sure. I think he said his name was NJ. He was in the call. I think he might have moved to the listener's queue. I didn't put him there. I think he might have just jumped to the listener's queue. But either way
– I'll jump you back in.
I'm still here.
I was going to say thank you for the call. You know what I mean? We're gonna jump into this past weekend's UFC. Thank you for the call, though. I appreciate it. Well, we appreciate it very much.
All right.
Hey, thanks, bro.
Thank you.
All right, man. So, Keys, I heard you talking about my bad about the technical difficulties, bro. I thought you could hear me, but that's neither here nor there. I think Juliana Pena and Amanda Nunes, let's just go straight to the trilogy fight. I think Juliana Pena dominated Amanda in the first fight. Amanda came out and dominated Juliana in the second fight. So which domination was either false or true? And we only find that out in the trilogy fight. I thought
I just don't think those two dominations are equal, though, bro. You only had Nunes just beat her to death, bro. Like, Nunes probably could have killed her, man. Like, that's how bad she was beating her down. Like, that was kind of like uncomfortable to watch. Like, she was getting beat up so bad, bro. Like, I'm honestly a little bit surprised that, like, the ref didn't call it after like the fourth knockdown or the fifth knockdown, like, and stop that. Or like her corner didn't throw in the towel when like her face was literally covered in blood, and like she was clearly like not competitive in the fight. You know what I'm saying?
We say the same thing about the first fight?
Nah, I don't think so, bro. I don't think you can. I think the first fight wasn't really like that. I think the first fight was like a first or second round finish, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, but you didn't have. Yeah, but that's not the same thing as someone continuously losing for 25 minutes.
But the only reason that Amanda didn't continuously lose for 25 minutes because she got finished in the second round.
Yeah, but that's – I just
There
yeah,
was nothing
her face
in that
wasn't
fight.
Covered in blood, bro. She literally just she got yeah. I know that Pena looked a lot better in that fight, and I've said that many times. But I just don't think that kind of beating is the same as the type of beating that we just saw. Like Pena didn't look like she should have been in there. Like Nunes, like yeah, that night, like you could argue, okay, she shouldn't have been in there, but not. I wouldn't say to the extent this was, bro. I think that what we just saw was way worse than the way Nunes lost the first fight. And maybe, you know, people could say that's my own, like, biases or whatever, but I don't know, bro. That when someone's face is covered in blood and they're pretty much just getting knocked down over and over and over, like, she wasn't winning any of the striking exchanges. That's what I'm trying to tell you here. It's like, yeah. Nunes
won the striking exchanges in the first fight, though.
But do you really think Nunes couldn't have just jumped on her in the first round and just smashed her out? You think she couldn't have?
I think she could have, but...
You think Nunes couldn't have finished her in the first round if she wanted to?
I think if she wanted to, she could have, but she didn't. Whereas...
I think Nunes was trying to punish her, though. I think she wanted to just beat her for 20... It's kind of like Colby Covington. Like, Colby Covington always says he wants to beat guys for 25 minutes. He doesn't want to finish guys. And I feel like that was a similar mentality that Nunes had. She wanted to show that she was better and beat her for 25 minutes, which I can understand that mindset.
Yeah, but what about if she would have got caught? But what about if she would have got caught in the arm triangle or something? So for 5 seconds. So you punished her for 3 rounds. But you get choked out in 3 seconds, like Anderson Silva did Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen was winning that fight all the way up to when he got caught in that triangle. So it's I don't know about her wanting to punish her, but I just think I mean I get it because I know I was watching that fight and I was like, man, Nunes might have at least 2 10-8 rounds in this fight. One judge scored it like that. Another judge scored it was Nunes had 1 10-8 round. One judge scored it was he had 2 10-8 rounds. So I was like, all right, you know, cool. But I just can't poo-poo Pena did in the first fight. So, but like
bro,
me and you
I
said, Amara.
I don't know. Yo, I think saying that, to be honest, I think saying that, like, I'm usually on here saying that the 10-8 round is they throw it out, like, they use it. It's too overdone. Or sometimes when it's not used, it should have been. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I just feel like it's misused. Like, you have a really dominant round, you know, a guy will be, you know, in top position just like, you know, a Curtis Blaydes style fight. You'll see Curtis Blaydes just mauling somebody for an entire round, and they'll say, oh, Blaydes only won the first round 10-9. It's like, bro, he won the round 10-8. Stop playing him, bro. Like, if Curtis Blaydes, you know, he lands 98 strikes in one round and had, you know, 5 minutes of control time, you're telling me that's a 10-9 round? Are you serious? Are you serious? Like, you should not be able to judge with a decision like that. Like, that's a terrible decision because you know that's false. You know what I mean? So, in this, for me personally, I really just think, and maybe, you know, I'll tell you, bro, tipping the Casamigos Saturday night, we were faded, dog. We were faded. We were hella faded. We would, man, I was loving that shit. That was like, that was because I remember I told you how much I enjoyed watching the Volkanovski card, the Volkanovski versus Korean Zombie card in April.
Yeah.
That was the last time I was glassed for that one, bro. I was shattered out. 30,000 feet in the air, you know, where portable electronics can no longer be used and have to be stored in overhead cabins. And, yeah, I was off the Ciroc for the Volkanovski one. I was out of there, and I had a lot of fun watching that card. But this one, we was off the Casamigos. We, you know, it's all about the tequila now. So, you know, I was enjoying myself. So I'll tell you, maybe my memory of the way that fight was is different than it was. Maybe I got to watch it back, you know, with a sober perspective, sober mind. So I'll give you that. But from what I remember, bro, from what I watched, someone told me there was only one 10-8 round in that fight. is definitely not true, man. 1-10-8 round sounds like you're trying to save face for Pena, man. That's what that sounds like. You got to be, because you're taking away the integrity of the sport when you do shit like that. Like, saying that, like, it's like, you know, Masvidal's coach went back to the back of the locker room, you know, after he got completely annihilated by Kobe Covington, right? Masvidal's, not his coach, his manager, right? His manager goes back there, and his manager says to Masvidal, he's like, you didn't lose the fight, bro. You came to fight, he came to wrestle. But don't think that you lost, or whatever he said. He's like, you didn't lose.
Yeah, that was against Usman.
No, it wasn't. Maybe he said it twice, but he also said it after the Kobe Covington fight, too.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right, I'm bad, I was wrong. It was after the Covington fight.
And he said
he worked on his wrestling.
Yeah, so, but even if you work on your wrestling, that doesn't, you can't work on your wrestling for, you know, a year and expect to beat, you know, Kobe Covington, who's probably been wrestling since high school or since he was a kid and, you know, was a D1 wrestler. You know, he's probably one of the best wrestlers in the country, you know, like, and definitely at least one of the best in the UFC. It's like, you can't expect to just, you know, wrestle for a couple months in a fight camp and be able to hang with him, you know, but what I'm trying to say is that it's when you're giving them that type of leeway, the commentary was so one-sided, and you're losing the integrity of the sport because you're not being honest with people. You have to keep it, you have to be real about what happens. And it's like, you're telling guys they only got 10-8ed one time. Like, I thought, bro, from my memory, I had all the rounds 10-8, all the rounds. I thought it was a complete and utter domination. I didn't even see Pena have any moments. I didn't see her land anything. I don't remember her winning any of the striking exchanges. I saw the submission attempts, but they weren't successful. None of them were successful. I don't even remember seeing a close submission attempt. I didn't even feel like there was a point where I was like, oh, damn, she might actually get the tap. I never saw a close moment in any of those submission attempts. They were just all kind of – they were.
Oh, man, you missed that arm, boy. You missed that arm.
You
got
to rewatch the fight. I think you were listening to the commentary, bro. You got to turn off the commentary and rewatch it.
I normally don't listen to the commentary. I normally have music on while watching the fight because I don't like the commentary.
I can't believe nobody's talking about how bad that commentary was, because there's no way you can talk like that about a championship fight. That's just ridiculous. Like, DC, I'm disappointed, man. I'm really disappointed that DC was up there talking like that, and he should know better. You know what I mean? He should know better, being who he is, than to look at a fight like that and be so obviously, blatantly one-sided to one fighter. Like, bro, Pena was getting beat down. She was getting absolutely decimated in that fight, and all you heard them saying was talking about how tough she is. And it's like, what do you mean how tough she is? What are you talking about? She's losing the fight. Like, is anyone going to say, wow, look how good Amanda looks. Amanda's on her game tonight. Where were they saying this? Oh, Amanda's fighting southpaw right now. Damn, why is she fighting southpaw? No one even mentioned it.
Yeah. I don't think
they were watching the fight, man. I think they just were looking at Pena. I don't think they were even watching the fight.
But I think at the same time, O'Keefe, they have to hold the audience attention. Because if they start saying, oh, my God, Nunes is killing her, you know, some people might bar, you know, they might, you know, turn to something else for a minute. So I figure they do stuff like that to kind of hold the audience attention, to keep the audience engaged. But I was like, I felt like you. I was like, okay, we know Juliana Pena is tough. All right, we know that her only chance of winning this fight is a slap on the submission, which I kept saying, I don't know why Amanda kept putting herself in a position to get a submission slapped on her, but she kept doing it. And I was like, man, what is her corner telling her? Back up. Let her stand up. Don't stay on her guard. So I was like, man. But That's why when I watch most fights, I might have a closed caption on, but normally I have music on because when I'm watching the fights, I don't want my opinion, because I know we're going to get on this show on Wednesday, and we're going to talk about the fights, and I don't want my opinion to be swayed by the commentary or the post-fight show. But I normally watch the post-fight show because they really only can argue if they agree with the decision or if they don't. You can't argue knockouts and submissions. You only can talk about or pass judgment on decisions. So the post show I normally watch but normally the real show I just watch for myself. I have my music on. Sometimes I'll tweet my opinions during the fights. But I want to jump into this fight. Me and you talked last Thursday going into the Kakar France Brandon Moreno fight. We both was pulling for Kakar France to win that fight so we wouldn't get a fourth fight between Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. Brandon Moreno must have been listening to the show because he wanted no parts of what we wanted. Kakar France, I don't understand what his game plan going into that fight was. Once he established getting Moreno's timing down, where he needs to, what distance he needed to fight at, he was actually putting some things on Brandon Moreno. But for some strange reason, he wasn't defending the body kicks. If you go back to the Davidson Figueiredo fight, Brandon Moreno threw a lot of body kicks in that fight, in both fights. Kakar France, you have to defend those kicks. You not defending those kicks led to your demise. So me and Keys are forced to watch a fourth fight of Brandon Moreno versus David Figueiredo in Brazil. We have to watch a fourth fight. I am not happy about it. Your turn, Keys.
Yeah, so now we're going to watch that fight again. And this is actually a side point I want to bring up before we would even talk about that fight, because I don't even know if I want to talk about a fourth Moreno and Figueiredo fight right now, to be honest. I don't even think I care to talk about it. I'm not interested in it, so why would I spend time on our show talking about it?
Exactly.
When it comes
so
time for it, yeah, so when it comes time for it, you know, maybe we'll talk about it, but I'm going to talk about a different thing. It involves the two of them. Okay. Can somebody tell me why? And I want to say, I think Dana White said this at the post, at a point during the post-fight presser, Dana White brought this up. And I'm really glad, man. I like when Dana White keeps it real and he brings up things like this. Cause it's like, all right, you know what? That's something that needs to be said because everyone was so caught up in, like, the rivalry and it being, like, a heated moment and, like, you know, the champion of Figueiredo is cage side. So what did they do, right? Moreno wins the fight, okay? He's now the interim champion. So he is now a champion. Even though he's not, you know, he doesn't have the official belt, he now just got awarded the belt. He is the interim champion. Is that not still a special moment?
For him, it is.
Right. Is that not still a moment that he should get to have in full? Shouldn't he? Is that not a moment that he should get the floor for? Like I tell you, the floor is yours. Should he not get the floor for that moment with his people, with his coaches, with his family, or his wife, or his daughter, or whoever is important to him to have, right? Shouldn't he get that moment?
I totally agree. I mean,
But what did they give to him instead? They had, you know, Figueiredo, you know, coming up into the cage, and all of Figueiredo's people, you know, Figueiredo's in his face, and, like, he has to, like, have a conversation with him, and, like, talk about, obvious, like, already talk about their fight. And it's like, bro, can we just let him rock and just, can he just, like, feel that moment and just celebrate and just have the floor? Or do we need to, like, immediately Like, they shouldn't have even allowed Figueiredo to enter the cage. You know what I'm saying? That's the part that bothers me. It's like, yo, even if you want to say, like, oh, Moreno, like, I didn't see it. I don't really remember. But even if someone's like, oh, Moreno, like, motioned to Figueiredo, or he pointed or said something to him, you know, through the cage, that doesn't mean you let – Figueiredo chose to stand up and literally walked into the cage with his people. That doesn't mean you let him enter the octagon. Like, I know you want to make, like, a, you know, a big hype moment and get something for the media or to hype the next fight or whatever, but, bro, let a guy have his moment, man. Like, I feel like that was disrespectful to Brandon Moreno. You guys didn't even let him rock. You know what I'm saying? He just won he's a world champion again. He just won a belt. He had a good performance. You know, won by knockout. And, he's climbing his way. Then that's all that – I don't even really need to say anything more. Why can't he just have that moment? Like, even if he pointed at Figueiredo, let them, you know, talk real quick between the cages. You have a clip right there. You don't – the UFC should have stopped him when he went to go enter the cage and said he can't – like, that's – I don't know, man. Like, maybe that's a hot take, but I just think that's bullshit, man. I say the real talk. You know, I say the things that people don't have the balls to say. You know what I mean? And the things that go without ego. So – that's why I say that. A lot of other people, they want to have that hype and say, oh, you know, have them face off in the ring. And it's like, man, guys don't need a face off, bro. He can just have his moment. He's a world champion. Let him have his moment, and they can face off later. There's going to be plenty of face offs later. You know, Figueiredo and his fake belt. You know what I mean? He didn't even win the last fight. And he lost the last fight, and he didn't even win the first fight. So don't even get me started with that, bro. That dude is barely even the champ. Second of all, he's barely even the champ to me. So, it is what it was, man. It is what it was.
No, normally, I would agree with you on this one, Keys. But being that Brandon Moreno motioned him to come in the cage, and I think Brandon Moreno actually being an all-in-all champion, he really was like, man, y'all can keep this interim championship. Until I get the real belt, man, this all just show. So I think Brandon Moreno called Davison Figueiredo in. He told Davison Figueiredo, hey, I want to fight you next, me and you again. And then Figueiredo came back with the retort of, I'd have fought you on your home turf. Now it's your turn to come to my home turf in Brazil. And Brandon Figueiredo was like, maybe Brandon Moreno was like, let's go. So, in a way, I agree with you, but being that Moreno called him into the octagon, that kind of goes to the side. But at the same time is, I kind of like what Figueiredo did too by saying, when we fight, it's on my terms, since I'm the champ. And I don't even know why we at this point. Because I had, once again, Moreno winning the first two fights. So that's neither here nor there. And I actually had him closely winning the third fight. Or did I may have had Figueiredo win about one round in the third fight. But Moreno, I think he was like, until I get the real belt, you know, it is what it is, but I'm going to challenge this guy right now. And I think Davison did his part as far as jumping in the octagon to pre-hype the fight. Man, having that fight in Brazil is going to be awesome. Amanda Nunes says she wants to fight in Brazil. So we're going to have a bunch of Brazilian fighters in Brazil to close out the year. So that card might be nuts. We got to keep an eye on what they do with that car. But normally I would agree with you on this one, Keys. But being that Moreno called Figueiredo into the octagon, I'm going to have to go with Brandon doesn't care about having an interim title. He wants the real belt, and that's why he did it.
Okay. So the next thing, I'm a hard stop right there. We'll leave that because there's another thing that I want to bring up to you about that card. We won't be able to get to everything from that card, but this is something that, you know, I was talking to, you know, a couple guys on Twitter about earlier on this afternoon. And it's, you know, I feel like it was a debate the night of the card and everything too. And it's still kind of a debate. You just see it out there. People are all saying this. So tell me this. What did you think? Okay, so Derek Lewis, right, he lost by knockout. And people are saying that he – so for background before we go to it, he's lost now 3 times in his last 4 fights. He has been KO'd. KO
yep.
or TKO. Okay? He got – I want to say he got TKO'd by Ciryl Gane. He got KO'd by Tuivasa, and then he just got KO'd by Sergey Pavlovich. So that's
yep. –
And then he KO'd the Chris I forget his name, but the police officer, I forget his name. But so that's his one win, but he got lost by a KO or a TKO 3 out of his last 4 fights, right, bro?
Okay.
And then so now people are saying that was an early stoppage in that fight. And a lot of people feel like that was an early stoppage. I'm going to ask you, do you think that was an early stoppage? Did the ref jump on that too quick, or could Derek Lewis have recovered right there? Do you think there was more in him?
All right. Before I jump into that, most heavyweight fights end how, Keith? Derek Lewis is a heavyweight. So 9 times out of 10, when he loses, it's going to be by knockout. But when I first watched the fight, I thought it was a BS stoppage. I was like, wow, that was kind of quick. But when I went back and watched it a second time, I noticed something. He face planted when he got hit. And what do most refs do when a fighter face plants? They normally stop the fight. A face plant is normally an automatic stoppage for most referees. And I felt, when I originally watched it the first time, I was like, damn, they did Derek wrong. But when I watched it the second time and I saw him face plant, it was a good stoppage. You know, a face plant means that you went out, you couldn't control yourself. You couldn't even use your hands to break your fall. So basically your face took the brunt of it. And I'm a big Derrick Lewis fan. I love watching seeing him fight. I think he's one of those guys in the heavyweight division that he's never out of a fight until there's no more zero, until there are almost zeros on the clock in the final round. But in that situation, I felt it was a good stoppage because he face planted. And Derek Lewis needs to stop fighting in Texas. Stop fighting in your home state, bro. It's something about fighting in Texas where you don't fare well. You don't have good showings in your home state. So next time the UFC come to Texas and they say, Derek, you want to fight in Texas? Tell them, hell no. I wait till we go to Vegas, New York, or somewhere else. Because he definitely doesn't do good in Texas. What was your thoughts, bro?
Yeah, I mean, he's now 0-3. I don't know. I think there's been cards before where he won in Texas, but that was, like, you know, years ago. I just know, like, the last three, they just did 3 cards, you know, in different parts of Texas. I think they did – oh, man, I don't remember actually which parts they did, but – this one he lost, and then the Ciryl Gane one was in Texas somewhere he lost, and then the Tai Tuivasa one was when he lost as well. So, yeah, I think there's some kind of curse on him about fighting in his home state, so I think he should definitely fall back on that. And by the way, do you have feedback? Is that from IAC? Should I turn it down?
Who?
Is my mic giving feedback?
Like, no, bro, like you sound good, bro. You sound good.
All right, because I turned my AC up. I didn't know. Sometimes it does. Yeah, so he should definitely stop fighting out there. There's some kind of curse on him with, you know, fighting in his in Texas. So we definitely, I don't want to see him fight there anymore. Some people will say that's like a superstition, but I don't. I mean, it's a continuous pattern. I think you just stop it. And I guess the thing that I would say is that Derek Lewis wasn't losing by KO before, though. I think that's what I would say, bro, is that it's like, yeah, he's in the heavyweight division, and you're either going to win by knockout or lose by knockout. But most of the time, I mean, we did see a heavyweight fight go to decision, actually, on the prelims. And that was actually, too, that was a fun heavyweight fight, bro. I probably next week we'll have to search that guy's name and look at him, bro, because he's pretty good. He was showing some wrestling skills. He was showing some striking skills. He was in there. They fought three rounds, bro. I was like, wow, this dude, he's the first Egyptian fighter. They said he's the first ever Egyptian UFC fighter, I think, to win a fight in the UFC. I think that was what it was. He broke that or made that record. I forget his name. Hamdi something. Hamdi, forget his last name. But he was pretty good. But, yeah, so what you said, it's like the heavyweights are either losing by knockout or the winning by knockout. But when do you recall him, like, Derek Lewis getting KO'd over and over in this, like this? Like, when has this happened? Like, he's usually the guy that's knocking everybody out. Or it's like he's fighting, you know, you think of his recent losses before that, he's losing to, like, Daniel Cormier because he's getting choked out. You know, it's like he was, like, once in a while losing, you know, at the big fight. But now it's like, I don't know, he's just getting knocked out kind of a lot from what I've seen from him.
Yeah, man. It's kind of, this one is a tough one, but Derek Lewis was knocked out, dog. I mean, everybody knows he's a tough guy, but I totally agree with the ref, man. It's just like, he face planted Keys. I mean, I missed it in the first, even when they did the replay, I was like, wow. That was kind of quick. But then when I watched it, I was like, man, he did a face plant. And I want to say it was one fight that we watched. I want to say it was Robbie Lawler and Ben Askren. And Ben Askren had Robbie Lawler in the submission or something. I can't remember the exact of the fight. When we came back and we talked about it, and I was like, I don't think he tapped. I think he was fighting it, and the referee called it. I want to say it was Lawler and Askren. I'm not sure, but we didn't argue about it, but we talked about it. And I thought the referee was kind of quick on that. And I think the referee was kind of quick on this one. No, I don't. The referee did his job. Derek Lewis face planted. He face planted, and that's just it. When you face plant, that means that you have no defensive awareness about yourself to even put your arms up to save your face from hitting the mat. So, yeah, man, there ain't nothing to talk about here, bro. He face planted, bro.
That's all that really was. And it's, you know, the guy earlier on Twitter, and this is my last point, is the guy said it was an early stoppage. And I'm like, well, you can say it was an early stoppage, but all you're really saying is, and this is the truth, is it was early, meaning it was early in the sense that he would have, it was early by one or two strikes to Derek Lewis's head. That's what it was early by. Realistic. Like, because when people say early stoppage, they're almost most times insinuating that the guy who was
stopped.
Yeah. That's what they're insinuating when they say early stoppage. Yep. But that, I will assure you, that is not the case here. Derek Lewis was not going to be able to get up and fight. It wasn't going to happen, bro. I mean, even if he did try to stand up, I think that dude would have clipped him with another shot. And probably what you would have seen is him really face plant again, but he would have been out cold. And I don't want to see guys have to take, you know, more and more punishment. That's why, to me, with that stoppage, I don't want to see Derek Lewis, you know, take repeated strikes when I feel like he's already out, you know, and I felt like he was already out. When you saw him get wobbled in that first exchange that they had, you could see he was already wobbled. And then when he started moving away, I'm like, damn, Derek Lewis is on chicken legs, bro. And then once he got hit and he face planted, I'm like, yo, that was strikes two and three for me when he face planted. Strikes one was when he was on chicken legs, and then strikes two and three was when he face planted. The guy didn't need to hit him again at that point. And everyone's saying early stoppage. It's like, early stoppage what? It would have been one or two more strikes that guy would have landed to his head, and then the ref would have stopped it. Or you would have probably saw one more hammer fist or something, and then the ref would, or a punch to the side of his head, and the ref would have stopped it. That would have been all the more that they would have allowed. The ref wouldn't, because he was done, bro. He only would have taken more damage, and there was no need because he was out of the fight. It was over. So that's not because I want to see him lose. It's because I don't want to see him lose years off his life. That's why. Not that I want to see him lose.
Thank you.
You like how I just flipped that? You like that play on? You like that? That was a like that play on words right there. Come on, man. Come on.
And basically, that goes back to the conversation we had last week about guys needing to know when enough's enough. Let's say if Derrick Lewis would have got back up. Let's say if he would have miraculously won the fight. It would have been a good story, but how much damage would he have taken to pull off a late round or maybe a knockout? Heavyweights don't go to the body. Heavyweights, all they punches are basically kicks and punches to the head. So I totally agree with what my man Key said. You know, let's say if Derek would have got up, he probably would have took some more damage, maybe got saved by the bell, maybe come back out and establish himself. You know, maybe the fight goes three rounds. But how much damage would he have took from the time he got knocked down to that third round bell? I love the stoppage. The stoppage was legit. The stoppage was warranted. The referee saw the man face plant, and face plants are normally an automatic stoppage. Thank you, end of story.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think we get lost in the entertainment of these fights, and sometimes you have to think about the health of the fighters too. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that I like to think about is like, yeah, do I want to see this fight? You know, whatever, but or early stoppage, whatever you want to say, sure. But, you know, sometimes when it's your guy, you get upset, you want to say early stoppage, but you got to think about them being in jeopardy too. So that's kind of what I'd like to look at. And that's what I saw there, and I don't want to see, you know, him take more punishment. So that's really, you know, that's really all that is. You know, we had a good show here.
No, Keith, before we sign off, man, I got to ask you, your city of Boston, man, y'all lost a great one this weekend, and Bill Russell. I know you probably never saw him play, but I know you know what he brought to that city. How's the city doing, man? How's the city dealing with the death of Bill Russell, man?
I want to say I saw a statue. I think they might have put up a statue because I've been, obviously, I don't know if I told you, I've been working at a courthouse because I'm on jury duty. And I want to say I saw, I think they built the statue because I saw a bunch of flowers around the statue today. And I was in Government Center, which is like, you know, one of the, that's like a main area of Boston. You know, that's that's relatively near the TD Garden and all that. So, it's major here, bro. Bill Russell is an absolute legend. You know, many regard him as, you know, the best Celtic ever, you know, and that's, I mean, obviously, I didn't see his, you know, I didn't see his era. I didn't get to witness it. But, yeah, I mean, tons of people regard him as the best Celtic ever. He's an absolute legend in Boston. And, that's a tough one. You know, that is and will continue to be a tough one. That's, you know what I mean? God bless his soul, you know. That's a tough loss for the city of Boston. I'll say that.
Actually, man, you are actually 100% right. A statue of the former professional basketball player Bill Russell is installed outside of Boston City Hall in the United States, in the U.S. state of Massachusetts. The bronze sculpture was unveiled in 2013.
Yeah, that must have been the one I saw today then.
Yeah, I'll just say this about Bill Russell. I'll keep it short and sweet. Champion on the court, but just as big a champion off the court. Me and Keys talk about this a lot. Talent is good, but your character should outweigh your talent. When your character outweighs your talent, that means you are getting the most out of your athletic ability and your human ability. And I think Bill Russell, he definitely maximized that. He epitomized that. And we're going to say rest in peace to Bill Russell, greatest team winner in sports history. That being said, Lee and Keys, dedicated the show to Bill Russell. Signing off as always, we end with a peace.